You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again for joining me on this beautiful day. Okay, so this episode, I have a very special guest in this episode. The very first time I met this young lady is when my mother took me to her church. And when I went to her church, I felt so good. That's like one of the best feelings I've had going to a church at that time. When I first met her about 10 years ago. It's been about 10 years now since I first met her. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Dr. Shirley White Campbell. How are you today, ma'am?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am. And I really appreciate you being here because I know that you are very, very busy. And you took the time out to come actually talk to me. And for that, I thank you so much. So much.
Yes, it is.
Yes, thank ma'am. You. Yes, ma'am. So we're gonna get right into it, okay?
Yes.
So my first question is, so can you tell me about your childhood and where did you grow up?
Oh, well, I'm very proud to tell you about my childhood, actually. I am the baby out of 10. My parents have 10 children. I'm the baby. And we were all born and raised in Brownstown, St. Anne, in a little town, or say up in the country, up in the hills, called Middle Buxton, Brownstown, St. Anne in Jamaica, The beautiful Garden Parish, where we were brought up as from a Christian parent. So we were brought up in church, yes. And we grew up there and you know, the community is well united and unified, where we were built strong together.
Okay. That's interesting. Because I always say community, when you have like a good, strong community, it makes things better within, you know what I'm saying, within the area. So that's one thing I love, is a good, strong community. So tell me, right, within that community, what's some of your early influences in your life and how that shaped who you are today?
Well, I was brought up not only per se in a Christian family where my mother a prayer warrior, but my father was involved in business and politics.
Okay.
So those things helped to set the stage as well. Business, politics, community, the people that you grow up with, you know, and from the infant school teacher to the pastor at church, to the neighbor next door, it helped to build our foundation.
Gotcha. And after once you had your early influence and everything was going good for you as a young person, so when did you come to America and what was that transition like for you once you got to the States?
We relocated to America in the early 90s.
Okay.
Very early 90s. And to me, it was quite a life-changing experience, quite shocking. Not like the little mountain where we come from, the little hill that we grew up on. Everything was new, all new faces, a different culture, different environment. And you know, it was like really, really life-changing. And a fast pace, because you don't have time to catch up. You have to jump right in. You're now in America, you have to jump right in to go with the flow. And thank God the transition went well.
Gotcha. So when you first got to the States, was it Florida you came first or was it New York or where?
No, I came to Florida first.
Okay.
That's where I came. I visited New York, but I prefer Florida because it is warm. Reminds me of Jamaica.
Yeah, I understand that. Yes. Yeah, so because I know a lot of times, like especially with Jamaican or people from the Caribbean, either Florida or New York, they all come first whenever they come to the States. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I choose Florida because the mangoes grow here.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I love some good mangoes. I remember when I went to Florida one time, my auntie, did you know my auntie Bev? I don't know if you know her.
No.
Okay, my mom's sister. I went to her house and she had some mangoes in her yard. Oh God, it was so good. I enjoyed those nice sweet mangoes. So, right, growing up, right, did you always know who you wanted to help? Did you always know that you wanted to help others and work in healthcare? Was that always your dream?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. So as I mentioned earlier, that we grew up in business and politics.
Okay.
So there's always a big wide world behind us, right? Mm-hmm. And beside us and around us. We're surrounded by a lot of people and things. And so my dad would be the guy who take the lights to church or the students to our home. However, there were schools in our that was held, classes that was held, and our property. So even from then to the basic school, whenever a child is injured, or even if it's a bird that falls from the sky with a broken leg, I would take that bird home or I'll take that child home just to get some help for that child. So I know from day one that that's something that, you know, the medical profession is not just to be in the medical field. It has to be birthed in you, really. Yeah, it has to be in you, because if it's not in you, you'll fall apart along the way. Yes. And so I think my dad saw that in me too, because in my neighborhood, I dubbed the name Sister.
Okay.
He called me Sister because, you know, back then you'd think of being in a matron and seeing the nuns and the sisters and how they care for people. That's me. So that's me for my know myself. I'm always helping somebody, want to do something for somebody, and want to see somebody better.
Gotcha. That's a real inspiring story. So your dad played like a big part of your life as a young child, and your mom too?
Sure. Both parents.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's very inspiring right there. Were there any challenges you faced as a young child with big dreams? As a young girl with big dreams, I'm dreaming I want to be this.
Of course, there are going to be challenges because, for example, I, for one, believe that back then, growing up as a young girl in my country, that probably, as I mentioned, I'm the baby out of 10. Okay. And I believe that probably if my parents had the money, I know that my dream, my vision was to become a doctor, a surgeon, really. Okay. I wanted to be a surgeon because I am inquisitive. I like to seek things out. I like to learn things. I wanna fix things. That's me. I love to fix things. So that was my dream and a part of my dream. So I believe that poverty also plays a role when you're not able to financially support 10 children or school them the way you would want to.
Yeah, I understand that though. You know, because sometimes I think about there's so many people out there. When you grow up poor and you see a lot of people who are just given the chance, what they could be in this life, in this great life, is just given the chance. And sometimes when you don't have the money or the means to really make it better within your life, it's really rough. So I understand that, ma'am.
Yes.
So let's talk about your career, right? So what inspired you? I know you talked about it briefly earlier, but what inspired you to pursue a career in nursing and the healthcare?
Well, again, because of my love for it. It's within me.
Okay.
And so I started my nursing profession from Jamaica. And then I migrated here to America, and I went right back in climbing the professional ladder. I started back here while working as a CNA. I move on to a medical assistant, a rehab tech, an EKG tech, a phlebotomist. You can name it. I have multiple certification in multiple different things. I just keep on trying to figure out a way how to keep going. And then I became a LPN, a licensed practical nurse. Then I went on to pursue my RN and move on from my bachelor's right onto my master's and to my doctorate. Yes.
Okay.
So it's something, it's a profession that I know that I have to do, that I must do. Although there were hurdles and things along the way, right, I was ready to jump every one of them.
Got you. So you said you started up nursing in Jamaica, right? You started up first in Jamaica.
Yes.
An RN? What kind of nurse were you in Jamaica?
No, when I started out in Jamaica, you got to start from the lowest. So right. I attended St. John's Ambulance, where they started first in the first part of nursing. Yes, it was geared to the registered nurse schooling, of course, but from the earlier start of it. But then I migrated here and continue on.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I understand. I remember too when I was a CNA back in the day when I was young. You know what I mean? In the younger days, I understand. You know, yeah.
All of those are ladders that helps to build you to get to where you want to be.
I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. You know, and I'm glad I actually did it, become a CNA. You know, because we both are basically almost in the same field, so I get it. So you went to Polk State College, right?
Yes.
So why did you choose Polk State College for your associate?
Okay. So when I first came to America, I live in Palm Beach County. Mm-hmm. And so I attended Palm Beach State College then.
Okay.
Because as I mentioned, I spent most of my life in school.
Right.
And so I completed 2 years there. And then I relocated to Polk County. So when I relocated to Polk County, I transitioned into Polk State College. And there I completed my associate and my bachelor's there. Yes, and I didn't really seek other means. I just transfer straight through this college and continue on.
Okay. And another two, look at this question, right? You went to South University, right? As well for your master's? Yeah, you know, my wife, she's actually in South University right now. And she's working on her NP right now at South University. Wow. So how did your time, right, at South University in Savannah, Georgia, impact your professional journey? Now, with that being said, right, the two-part question. So did you go class online, or did you actually go in classroom for your master's at South University?
Well, I chose South University because I love the flexibility of it as a mom and also a career woman and seeking to go higher. South University fits the means for what I needed then, because I was able to work, take care of my kids, take care of church, and also go to school. All right. And so, pursuing education is paramount. You know, Nelson Mandela and Marcus Garvey and many others tell you about the importance of seeking education. Mm-hmm. It brings liberation. It opens up your mind. It gives you everything that you need. According to Nelson Mandela, you need it to help you in this world. It's the only weapon that you have that you can really use. Right? Yes, is ma'am. Education. Education is paramount. And so I seek to push through at whatever level or handle that I can possibly go to achieve the goal that I wanted to reach. So South University really helps me a lot. And I find the school to be very flexible. And I spent some good years there and graduated well. So I'm thankful for that.
Yes, ma'am.
My achievements were great.
Yes, ma'am. That's a blessing. It really is. You know, by the grace of the man above.
Amen. No one else can do it.
Exactly. I agree with 100%. So now working on your doctoral, right? Your doctoral focus was on early detection of breast cancer in African American women. Oh, wow. Well, why was that an important area of your research for you? Breast cancer. That's when you're working on like your dissertation.
Well, it's quite interesting. And why for me is that I work in hospice and palliative care for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I've also worked with oncologists and seen a lot of different cases of cancer. and people dying, people suffering, or people being treated for it. And one of the things that grabs my attention then, what bring my focus to, and it's another thing, but what I want to say this first, was the amount of African Americans that I see affected with breast cancer. Mm. And a lot of them that died from this disease is because of the lack of knowledge. Yes. Yeah. And all the disparities that comes along with it. So I felt then that education would be vital in this aspect, right? And then somebody for me, very close to me, very, very extremely close to me, was diagnosed with breast cancer too at a young age. And thankfully to God, that person still alive, because she took the time to get help and to do what's necessary to preserve life, right? Okay. And so that was why I chose that to be one of my major focus while attending South University, which still plays a major role today in my career. And I've gone to multiple places and spoke and educate and about breast cancer, yes. And it's being able to tell somebody about their bodies, how to take care of yourself, things to look for, and be able to give them different resources that can assist them even when they can't pay for it, like Susan Corman and other places that, you know, that can help them to get help.
I got you. And you know what? I just interviewed somebody. Her the episode I think will be out this Sunday, right? And she's young too. This was one of my soldiers when I was in the Army. And she had breast cancer. And she's such a young female. And but thank God, or thank by the grace of God, she's still alive. You know what I mean? And she's a good awareness, making a good awareness about of breast cancer. So
I really do think that breast cancer screening should start anywhere from 18, 19 years old. Mm. Because there's so many young people that are affected without even knowing.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true, though. That's so true. So now, what was it like balancing school, work, and family? Right, while pursuing your degrees? I know it was very hard.
Very difficult. Had it not been for God, I would not be able to accomplish the things that I have accomplished in my life. Balancing school, balancing children, church, and your own personal life, because you yourself, that unit, you have to take care of that you, right?
Right.
And so we all have our days and our difficulties and that we have to deal with, and you just can't do it without God. There's no way it can be done. So when somebody asks me that, how do I do it? I do it because God helps me through it. I could not do it without him. But I'm a strong, firm believer that I can do all the things through Christ who strengthened me. Yes? And there is a word that says I can't. It's useless to me. I believe you say you can't because you don't try. I believe you can erase that can't with I can. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. I don't settle for no. I don't settle for I can't. I believe that there is a way. Why? Because God will make a way.
I agree with that 100%. And one thing, I just have to say this, right? Because even before this interview, when I see you like on the prior line with my mom, whether it's in the afternoon and whether it's at night, and then I know you run the church, right? You feed the homeless, which we're gonna get into later. You have your own business. We're gonna get into that a little bit later. And I'm like, how this lady has so much energy to do all of that? I'm not lying to you. You know what I mean? We're practically about the same age, I guess. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, she has a lot of energy. I don't know how you do it, but it's a great thing. It's a great thing, man. Trust me, it really is.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I know it's hard.
But you know, this guy Waldo says, unless you try to do something, yes, then what you have already mastered, you will never grow. Yes. So you just got to try to do it so you can develop that growth and grow.
Yes, ma'am. I agree. So now, right, we're going to talk to church a little bit now. So what led you to pastoral ministry and becoming a leader at Pentecostal City Mission? I'm going to say it one more time. Pentecostal City Mission. Where is it located?
Pentecostal City Mission Church, yes.
And where is it located?
It's located at 229 State Road 60 East in Lake Wales, Florida, 33853. That's okay. The branch that I and my husband are pastoring. But we have multiple Pentecostal City Mission churches all over.
Okay.
So, yes. So if somebody is watching this show and they want to connect to a Pentecostal City Mission church, we are everywhere. We are in Los Angeles. We are in New York, multiple areas in New York. We are in Canada, England, Jamaica. Here in Florida, we have several churches from Boynton Beach to South Florida, all over. There are multiple. Belize, we have four churches in Kenya.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So so we are all over.
Yeah, man. So what led you to the ministry now? Why do you want to become a minister?
Right. So being born and raised in church, my dad support the church with light. That is to say that whether we want to go or not, we are going because that's where the light is, right? Mm-hmm. Double light, the light of the world and the other light that we need to see here in the darkness, other than the spiritual light, right? And so we would at times have church at home. Okay. We would take the lead with my siblings, who is the pastor and the sister who is singing. So we as kids, that was our playtime, church. And so I had that in my mindset growing up as a kid. You know, you raise a child up in the way that he or she should go, never depart from them, right? So coming to America, I've always been a church goer, coming to America, going to church and all that. But going to church is different from when you get that connectivity, that one-on-one, that personal call that, okay, it's time for you to stop being a goer and time for you to start being more of a doer, right?
Gotcha.
And so my home church then was back in Boynton Beach, and I used to go to church there a lot. And then at home, I would have evangelism services at home. So when we relocate to Polk County, we started church in our new home here. And so the church began to grow here. And we recognized we couldn't always have church at home because of the amount of people. That was during that time when I met your mom as well.
Got you.
And we went on out into the city and we rented a place and we started church there. And then I was ordained as the assistant pastor.
Okay.
And along the line, the Lord worked in mysterious ways that here I am, pastor in the church. Exactly. So it's awesome. I do it over and over and over again. And I still do believe that this is one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Yes, ma'am. And how does your faith, right, influence your work in both medicine and ministry?
Faith in God. And prayer, through prayer and through faith in God.
Yeah.
There's no other way. There's nothing else. Money cannot do it. Self cannot do it. Nothing else can do it but God. Only God can do it. God, prayer, and faith. That's what pulled me through, and that's what is pulling me through.
Good. Yes, ma'am. And what are some of the core values, right, your church stand on?
Amazing. There's so much of them. I'll give you some to ask. Okay. First, I want to tell you, we believe in the one and only true and living God. Yes?
Yes.
We believe in it that he is the only one that can save us from our sins. We believe in the resurrection. Right? We believe that that he's coming back again. Yes. And we believe in prayer. We believe in the Holy Bible. Yes. We believe in Christian living. True Christian living. We also believe in modesty. Yes. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Yes. We believe in everything that is right, everything that is good. We believe in it because we believe in one true and living God that is in control of all of this.
Yes, ma'am. And what is the significance, right, of Luke 14, verse 23 and Galatians 6, verse 2 in the outreach ministry?
Amazing. Amazing. So when I saw this question, I tell myself, I really have to write the scripture down.
Okay. Oh, right? Yeah.
And I really want to read it so somebody else can hear what you're asking.
Yes, ma'am.
And so Luke 14, 23 says, yes, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Right? So this passage right here is illustrating the concept here. I love that says compelling, not forcing, but to bring others in to participate in the kingdom of God. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, it doesn't matter who they are, where they have been, or what they have done. God said, come in. He is available. He is willing. He wants them, and he wants them to come to him. Right? Even if they're not initially invited, they are welcome to come. Come, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Everyone is of vital importance to God. Therefore, he wants us to go beyond the initial invitation and come in. You don't have to get an invitation to come. Come. You can come freely, come freely, come freely, and come to him. God's kingdom is open to all, and all are welcome regardless.
Wow.
So, yes. And that is what I teach on the and my ministry and the highways and edges. And I love to say byways because we go all over. You know, and I like to tell people that's where it is important. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Come on, man. You will live. Join this great mission and live. You'll never die. Yes. Yeah. And so now Galatians 6:2. The word of God says, carry one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. My Lord, this encourages Christians to actively help and support one another. We can't be selfish. We have to be there to help each other, right? A songwriter pen, if I can help somebody as I go along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody that he or she is going wrong, then my living shall not be in vain, right? And so this verse emphasizes the importance of mutual care and support within the Christian community. Yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Helping each other is paramount. It is fulfilling the law of the Almighty God. We need to understand that when we help people, we are helping God.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I really do live by that because just like me, I just love, you know what I'm saying, looking out for other people, make sure people are okay. Because you never know what people are going through. And they might need just a little bit of helping hand.
Yeah. Well, you have been here and you saw our work.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. I did.
So, you know, this is something that we do quite often and it is a need. It is paramount. You cannot be selfish in this life. You have to help somebody else. There is always somebody to help. There is always somebody in need.
I agree with that 100%. So now, right, with that being said, so how do you balance being both a healthcare professional and spiritual leader? How do you balance it? Because I know you stay busy. It's like sometimes probably it's hard to get in contact with you because you're working. You're running your business. You know what I mean? You're doing your prayer line. You're doing it all. Trust me.
Again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You know, it's not easy. But I want to tell you the honest truth. Although my business, my clinic is very important to me, the work of God is paramount. I will close my office door any day to do God's work. And I can tell you, even if I don't see the financial gain of closing it, the blessing is unspeakable of, because the blessings come in so many different ways, right? Mm-hmm. So I am always prepared and happy to help. So each day that I come to work, I come with a mindset of serving spiritually and physically. Yes. And so I schedule the times for service in between and along with the schedule of the job. And also must say, I thank God for the team, for the people that he gave me to help me in the mission. Because those people too, whether they are present in sight or they are away, they are a major support and help to the mission. So for example, on a Wednesday, we'll close the clinic from 11 to 1:30 for prayer while we fast and pray. And on Fridays, we will close for a half day, sometimes more, up to 6 hours, to go out in the field and take care of those who are in need. And as for me, I give myself no credit. I'm just telling you, if I don't do it, I don't feel like I am living. I have to do it. That's why I said it has to be a call. It has to be mandated. It has to be inside of you. It has to be that purge, that compassion, that care, that need that make you wanna have to do it. If it's not there, you'll get tired and you will just leave it alone. You know, you have to wanna do it. God, only with God, he has to put it in you and propels you, motivates you, and strengthens you to do it.
Yes, ma'am. And so now, right, after your spiritual ministry, and you're running your business, right? So what inspired you to start Universal Telehealth and Wellness, Inc., and its various branches? Because how many branches do you have?
How many branches?
Yeah.
Right now, I only have one branch, except we also do a mobile service.
Okay.
Yes. But I have worked for people for years. And I'm sure you understand what it's like to work for people and having your own business. What one of the main things that inspired me as well was to be able to have the flexibility. As I just mentioned, I could close my doors and go and serve in the streets and help others or whatever. Yes. And come back to my clinic without having been written up, been yelled at, been suspended, or been threatened.
Yes.
Right. So that's one of the main thing. The next thing is I want to serve at a different level.
Okay.
Yes. I have worked with people and I've seen how different organizations work, and I want to be able to make a difference with what I do, right? For example, I like to advocate for my patients. Many times you have gone to a medical facility and they will tell you, we will send your medication to Walgreens or we'll call you later. And you don't hear for a couple of days. And you probably have a UTI and need your antibiotics, right? Or some people come to the doctor and they need antibiotics and they can't afford it. And they don't take the time. I will advocate for those patients. I will take the time to call the pharmacy, explain the situation, and most times those patients can get some antibiotics. Yes. So yeah. Those are the things that I want to do. I want to be able to serve my patients with solicitous care. I want to be able to build a relationship where I can communicate with them at a specific level, regardless of who they are or from wherever walks of life they are from.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay. So with that, right? So like for them, you have patients in, you could be able to prescribe prescriptions to your nurses to for your patients, right?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. So if they need something, you'd be able, okay, I'm gonna write this prescription if they need it. So what other services do you offer at your clinic?
Okay, so mainly in my practice, it's primary care.
Okay.
And along with the primary care, I do some side niches. For example, I have a weight loss program, medical weight loss program. I've also done the IV hydration, which is vitamin or just regular hydration. I do men health and women health, testosterone replacement as well. Also do consultations for different things. Sometimes people just want to talk about life situations or things that bothers them. And so I talk about that. We do education, we do medication. You know, we do multiple different kind of things here. It all depends on what it is. There are some things that we have to refer people out, but the major things, as for education and treating diabetes, hypertension, cholesterol issues, and weight loss and all that, we do that here. And all everything that entails in primary care.
Wow, that's a lot, man. It really is. So, right. So what, as a Black woman and a Black entrepreneur, what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned? Have you ever had any kind of hurdle or anything that I actually get?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are definitely hurdles like funding, networking, mentorship. Gotcha. Yes.
Yes.
Lots of systematic barriers, being under, you know, under representation, you know, lots of those things you'll find that there are barriers along the way. Culture.
Wow. You know what I told my mother? You know what you should do one day? You know what you should do one day? Seriously? I think you should run for public office. Well, I'm serious. I really believe that you could be the change.
You know something?
Huh?
Honestly, I have been told that a few times.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. People have asked me if I will go up to Tallahassee and lobby for and all that kind of stuff. But I you know, honestly, you were lucky to get me on your show today. Because
yes, ma'am, I am.
I tell you why. And I just say, you know, I said to my daughter, I says, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and I'm just going to be obedient because I don't know what is it that he is doing with me. Mm-hmm. He told me that this is a year of harvesting for me. And I'm just saying, God, whatever you will have me do, I will do it because I know that you are with me. But your mom can tell you too, I'm a person that really likes to stay behind the scene and let what I do shows I am not the person. I'm not the person who wants to be in the limelight or me. I just want to do what I can do and let my work speak for me and just to help somebody else. That's the key thing, right? But if the Lord is saying, well, this is a way for me to pull you out, then hey, you got me.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, I really, this, if you ever decide to do it, you know what I mean? I really believe that you could be a great representative for your city.
Let's pray about it.
Yeah. I want one of these days. I want to see you, like on the internet or on TV, talking about what you're gonna do for the people. Because I know right now, I know for a fact. You know what I'm saying? How you are?
It's amazing because I think about 2 weeks ago, News Channel 8 came out here to the grounds. And we did a mini interview as well. I got caught on camera. I wasn't expecting it, but they saw what we were doing and distributing the food and serving the community. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, whatever you want me to do, I'll just do.
Yes, because think about it, right? I'm going to tell you something, because I got like 10 minutes left before the show, and I got a whole bunch of questions, which I probably won't be able to get to all these questions, right? But I just have to say this, okay? And don't be mad at me. Don't beat me up, okay? Well, I got to say this, all right? Sometimes, right, I think about the black church. And a lot of times I think about, you know, what have the black church really done for the black neighbor, for the neighborhood? I see these churches, like even with like within my neighborhood, right? I got like maybe 5 churches around. But I don't see them going out in the neighborhood and try to help the people. And when I see you doing that, you know what I mean? You're feeding the homeless. You make sure the homeless, the clothing, you doing all that great stuff. And I'll be like, man, imagine if every single black church across America could be like that. These black neighborhoods could be a lot better than what they are today. Because I'm telling you right now, you know, we can't depend on a lot of times, we can't depend on the government to really help us, right? You know what I mean? But the church, to me, within that neighborhood, within the neighborhood, should be the glue to really put the neighborhood together and bring the neighborhood together. Yes, ma'am.
I agree. And we are the least to be recognized, really. So we are just doing this for the glory of God. Right. Yes, because as you ask about Rafa Hands extended, right? With Rafa Hands extended, when I used to travel into the different communities and take care of the elderly, there is a lot of elderly people who are at home with no one to take care of them. They don't have the resources, they don't get the food, they don't get any help, and they are not able to come out and get it. And so that was when 2010, I decided to start a foundation. And then the foundation was called Feed the Hungry and Clothe the Naked. But then I changed the name to Rafa Hands Extended. So it covers, you know, a wider range. And so we go out every single week on a Friday and some Saturdays, even Sundays, because once per month, we go out into the neighborhood and we bring food, we bring clothing, we bring shoes, we bring toiletries, and we personal items. And we go out and we minister to these people and we make sure that we help them. We collect their information. We go back and visit them. We even offer them a water baptism. We do whatever we can to help them. If it's medical, if I can help them medically, I help them according to protocols. And if I can't, I send them or seek resources to assist them. And that is what we ought to be doing, is helping these people, because God wants us to do that. And it is a pleasure to do it. I could not see myself doing otherwise. It has to be done. It is a must. There's no way a church should ignore the needs of other people, because God says, they that lend it to the poor, lend it to him, and he is a rewarder. So therefore, it is good to know that, listen, God holds us something then, because he said we lend to the poor, we lend to him.
Got you.
And he's a rewarder, and he will reward us. And I believe that's what we are experiencing even right now. So we shouldn't just be a church to be locked up within four walls. We should be able to go out in the communities, highways and edges, and so help those who are in need.
I agree with you 100% on that. So right now, you need a van for your church, right?
Pardon me?
Do you need a van for your church?
Yes, we are in diverse need right now. We need a transportation to pull the food from the distribution center to the pantry, where we can distribute and dispatch the food out into the communities. So we are looking for a pickup truck with a trailer to pull behind it, and we are looking for a van, a 12 or 15 seater van that we can use to take items out to the community, to the people, to even pick them up and take them to the soup kitchen or take them to the church itself. Something to move around. So we are trusting, hoping, and praying that the Lord will open a door for that, because it is not a want, it is a need. And God promised to supply our needs according to his riches in glory. And so I am just praying. We are praying. The church is praying. And we're just trusting God that one day, by faith, we will receive it in Jesus' name.
Wow. And let me ask you this. So if someone wanted to donate to your church right now, how can somebody, who, if they're watching this video, could donate to your church to get a van?
Yes, they can donate via Zelle, and the phone number is 863-845-6679, 863-845-6679. One more time, 863-845-6679. Or they can contact me directly, or they can write to the church, Pentecostal City Mission Church, 229 State Road 60 East, Lake Wales, Florida, 33853. That's 229 State Road 60 East, Lake Wales, Florida, 33853. That's Pentecostal City Mission Church.
Perfect.
And we are really in need of your support, and ask that you can support us that way. You will see the results. Next thing, you can go on Facebook, type in the page, Pentecostal City Mission Church, and you will see my picture with my husband, Anno, there, and you will see us. You will notice the county. We are in Polk County, and you will see us there, and you will see our work on Facebook. It's public. You can see us every week where we go out and the work that we do. If you'd like me to follow up on another show to show pictures and stuff and get testimonies from the community, I can also present that too, because people like to see what has been done. So I like to show them what we do.
Yes, ma'am. And we're definitely going to do another show, because right now we got like about 2 more minutes left on the show. Right? Because there's so much second question I wanted to ask you, right? Which, there's going to be a part two, if you don't mind. This is going to be a part two, okay, of our conversation, because I really enjoy the conversation that we just had, right? And before everything, your husband, real quick, tell the people, right, your husband is like a jack of all trades. You know, tell what your husband has done for the church.
My husband is a jack of all trades. Yes, we built a worship house from a whole 2-car garage, which one day would love to show you guys what that is. And whatever we do together, and we build together. And we thank God also for our daughter, the youngest one at home, that helps greatly. And also for the few brethren of the church as well that stand. You have some people that will come out and labor. I cannot take any of this credit for myself, because we are a unit. We work together. We put things together. I'm a visionary person. And I think it, I want to see it. And so I think it, I will even jot it out, sketch it out on a piece of paper. And I have people that will just help me to bring it to life.
Perfect. Yes. So next 30 seconds, right? Can please leave us with a 30 second prayer, if you don't mind.
I will. And while I do this quickly, I remember one of the questions you asked was, what would I tell my younger self? Self, I would say, is Shirley, you are a born gift to the world. Continue to love people. Do what you can. Do all you can for the Lord, because with God, trust him. With him, all things are possible. And I am seeing the results daily of the Lord's divine intervention. Mm-hmm. So let us pray today. What would you like for me to pray for overall?
Yeah, just overall, your success, this show's success.
Praise God. Amen. Father, I thank you. Father, I honor you. Father, I give you glory. Father, I give you praise. God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, one that I was not even expecting. But Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for this resource. I thank you for this platform. I thank you, Lord God Almighty, for this brother is also a contributor of our mission. I pray, God, that you will bless his work. Oh, God Almighty, I speak success. Lord God Almighty, your divine favor to overtake him and his family in the name of Jesus. Lord God Almighty, I pray you'll continue to bless his mother. Lord God Almighty, in a special way in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray likewise for the same for me and for everyone that will ever hear my voice and watch this show, that you will bless them, Lord God, that you will nudge their hearts to give, that you will pull them, God, to serve you, oh God, that they will come to understand that you have sent your only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross for our sins, and that you love them with an abounding love, oh God. Lord God Almighty, I pray that through this platform, lives will be changed, oh God, and people will come to know a God, a true and living God, a God that there is no other God, none can compare to him, and that they will surrender and they will serve him and they will live for him in spirit and in truth, as we commit this platform, our mission, our church, our families, our friends, and your people in your hands. We say thanks in Jesus' holy name. It is an absolute blessing and a pleasure. I thank you too, Mr. Harris, for being a supporter of our mission. I thank you too for allowing me to come on today. It's quite a surprise. You have pulled out a whole lot out of me today. But I want to tell you, if I could just win one soul from this show for the kingdom of heaven, it's all that would really matter. But I thank you for your support. I thank those who would plan or will plan or is planning or is now sending a contribution to our ministry for helping others. And I pray that God will bless you and multiply it back to you in the name of Jesus. Remember, we have churches everywhere, from Kenya to Jamaica to Belize to Canada to England. Everywhere, Florida, we have churches all over. So,
thank you so much.
Just stay prayerful.
Yeah, ma'am. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You just made my day, Pastor Campbell. I really appreciate it. Okay, and I know y'all get back to work now. Enjoy the rest of your day. And my audience, thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going. Bye.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.